This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Just need some Mahomes magic. Launches down the middle. Hill open. Caught. Get it, Kansas City, the big play.
He did a great job. He kept firing. The guys around him just believed in him. I mean, it was, we all did. I mean, all the coaches likewise.
And that belief paid off with a Lombardi Trophy, the Kansas City Chiefs, champions of the NFL. So they unseat the previous champion, but the champion that will never be unseated is joining us in the studio right now. That's Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold Insider, who, of course, was in Miami to see that play and the rest of Super Bowl 54. Mike, tough to get on a plane and return to 22 degrees?
No, not really.
Really?
I worked harder than ever before to get, you know, there's a certain grocery list of things you want to do each day when you're at Super Bowl, stories you want to cover.
Yeah.
Maybe I got about 12 to 15 ideas a day, and a lot of them are connected to Wisconsin teams and Packers stories, backstories and things like that.
Right.
And I go down there to kind of study, like, what did these two teams do to get over the top? And what should we be looking for when I get back to Green Bay for the kinds of direction that they're doing? And the people I'm at, Miami, couldn't be nicer. But it was the toughest. I've done 16 of these now.
Kevin. Wow. 16
Super Bowls.
Whew.
And the Super Bowl's been in Miami, what, how many, 11 times now? This was the roughest logistical thing, nightmare ever.
Spatially is the issue. Spatially, right? The number of miles between things.
The thing is, you know, when you arrive in a Super Bowl city and it's, welcome to the Super Bowl, right there at the airport. But it's not far before you get into town. And Bill and I get there like the weekend before, Saturday morning before. Because we've got stuff to set up. We've got logistics to work out. We've got to set up camp.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be into it now, big time for the next 6 days. Long days. We get up about 5:30 or 6. I get to bed about 1. You know, I'm editing stuff for the morning show for the next day. I'm getting my thoughts ready for the next day. And so when you think of security and the target that the Super Bowl is for terrorists, you know, in all seriousness, the roadblocks and all that, on top of that, it's like, where did all this traffic come from? Because I was down there in 2006 when the Bears lost to the Colts, and they played at Joe Robbie.
Yeah.
And I remember pulling up to the convention center, you know, and it being a simple two-story thing, and just walking in and, you know, covering my press conferences and getting in the car and driving out to the team hotels. They were in a new convention center, and we would park in one parking structure and then walk about 7 or 8 blocks carrying trays with equipment. You know how you TV guys carry those wagons with equipment like that.
Smart.
And yet, and then I had to use an elevator for some of my needs with equipment and whatnot. So you'd walk in all the way to the end of the convention center. Then all the elevators were shut off for security reasons. So you'd walk all the way back to the other end of the convention center, take the one elevator that they had working with guards, go up there and then walk back the length of the convention center. And I mean, this sucker went on forever. It was longer than some of the airport terminals that I've been in and the international airports. So it's like something that should take 10 minutes to get from your rental car or vehicle, 15 minutes, took a half hour, 45 minutes. I sat in traffic one day for over 4 hours.
4 hours?
To cover to go to the AFC team hotel and then down to the NFC team hotel. And a woman that was a real estate agent that Bill, you know, had worked with said, she goes, oh, you were here, and last time you were here is 2006. This whole area you're in here, there's like 40 skyscrapers have been built in the last 4 to 5 years.
Yeah.
40 stories tall, and they're bringing in international money. It's Lamborghini and Ferrari. And, you know, it's like I was joking with Bill, guys in a Mercedes look like you're driving a Buick down there. The cars are so expensive and bumper to bumper. And the, you know, Miami Beach hasn't gotten any bigger. It's just that little slim, thin slice, you know, over there by Biscayne Bay and one or two little causeways, and it's bumper to bumper. And the funny thing was Bill had on Mark Murphy. Okay.
Right.
And he was scheduled at 1 o'clock on Friday. Now I was still at one of the other press conferences and I thought, you know, I could still get over there. I'd like to sit on that, say hi to Mark. Right.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm fighting traffic. And finally at 12:50, I managed to get the car into a special parking treatment where they're checking under the car with mirrors and bomb sniffing dogs. And then you got to pop the hood to your vehicle and they go through all that. Cause this parking structure was within the building. All right. I mean, that's how tight the security is. So I go through all that stuff. That takes about 10 minutes. I get in there and I get to Bill's broadcast site about 10 minutes before one, when Mark is supposed to come on. I'm thinking, as I'm sitting stuck in traffic, I'm going to say, I'm going to ask the president of the Packers how these NFL, these 32 NFL owners or presidents, how do they get around town like this? I mean, who approved this plan? Because this is a mess. They got downtown hotels. Why didn't they have it out in the suburbs where you can just drive up, right? And so then at 1 o'clock rolls around, no Mark Murphy. He calls in. Yeah, we're stuck in traffic. That's how bad it was.
You still beat him. You thought you were late.
That's how bad it was. He was late by a half hour, so he ended up having to do the interview via telephone from the back seat of his car. So the big play in the game, of course, is the 3rd and 15, and in case people missed this earlier in the week, we got to talk to these players after the game, to like Tyreek Hill, fastest man in the league, Mike Pettine, Packers defensive coordinator, says, I remember seeing that guy during the combine and during workouts. I was like, who's that guy?
Yeah.
Who's that guy? And Tyreek said, you know, we were down 20 to 10. We were kind of thinking it was over with there in the fourth quarter. And the guy who kept us in it was Patrick Mahomes.
Pat, being Pat, he came to me. He was like, Tan, I need you, man. I need you to, like, get your mind right and believe, you know? Like, it's 20 to 10, bro. I'm like, dude, it's 20 to 10, 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. I'm like, come on, bro, you know? But he was able to get my mind right. He was able to calm me down. You know, and just tell me, man, just believe, man. And as you see, man, we came out victorious.
3rd and 15 is playing in San Francisco, like 4th and 26 in Green Bay,
you know,
after they lost to the Eagles. Hey. They're going to be thinking about that for a long time. And Mahomes is there, 7.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. He's down 20 to 10. He's got a 3rd and 15. And he tells Andy Reid, let's run that play we ran in the first half. Because the way they're playing their safeties, they're trying to cheat up their safeties. If Tyreek Hill cuts back outside rather than runs a post, he should be wide open. Jimmy Ward should be, you know, in a different zip code. That's how the play worked. It's essentially the quarterback, Mahomes, saying, Coach, let's call this play. And he discussed it in the locker room after that.
Yeah. It was a play that went right off the one that we had. And so I just wanted to run it to get it out there and give Tyreek a chance to make a play. And how they were playing, how the safety was robbing, I knew Kels would take that guy. And it'd be Tyreek one-on-one with the safety. So we went to it, and it worked out.
And then for the go-ahead touchdown, the Chiefs are now lined up. And it's not over with yet. You know, you got to get this ball in the end zone to get past the 49ers in the Super Bowl. I see Sammy Watkins, number 14, line up wide right, and everybody else from the Chiefs is strong left. And I see Sammy just there, like, one-on-one. I'm like, oh, man, this is up in the press box. And we're sitting behind the teams, sort of like Soldier Field. You're in the southwest corner of the south end zone.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of got the all-22 in this.
A little high,
as opposed to the 50-yard line.
Right.
All right? But that's okay because you can see what's going on. You get out the binoculars and zoom in. And I'm watching, and I was like, oh, man, he's up against Richard Sherman. It's number 25.
Right.
I got to see, because I'm thinking, man, Pat, this guy could be wide open. He's got Sammy Watkins on Richard Sherman one-on-one. And listen to Sammy Watkins tell Deion Sanders after the game. He said, you know what? I was watching tape of what Devontae Adams did in the second half against the 49ers in the NFC Championship. That's how I put this move on him.
Take me through that route. And what was Richard playing you? How was he playing you? Man, shout out to Devontae Adams. Like, watch him beat him on the post and beat him inside. You know, Richard Sherman did not want to let you outside. One of the best cornerbacks, I think, top players in this league. But I felt I had an easy release inside, and I took my advantage on him. And me and Pat just connected on a great play, man. He was too close to me. I didn't pitter-pat the line and play. And I just played fast, and, man, depending on my speed and my physicality, and I made one of the biggest plays in the game.
So Jimmy Garoppolo gets the ball back. He's got Emmanuel Sanders open deep down the center of the field, and he overthrows him.
Yeah.
It could have been a Super Bowl moment.
Yeah.
And yesterday, Kyle Shanahan and their GM, John Lynch, sat down with the media, and the first thing they were asked is, have you got second thoughts about Jimmy Garoppolo as your championship quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, same as it was the day before the Super Bowl. I mean, there's no different. I mean, he was on his way close to Super Bowl MVP. And we all know we didn't make those plays at the end, but we made those plays all year, our whole team. That's one of the reasons we were there. And whenever you don't make those plays at the end in a game like that, first and foremost, the quarterbacks can get attacked, and then usually the play caller. So we understand that's how it goes.
So, Kevin, why is it so hard to get back to the Super Bowl?
Boy.
When you lose it.
Yeah, there's the question, Ray.
Why, you know, the Cardinals, the Panthers, the Falcons, last year's Rams, these are all Super Bowl losers, didn't get back the next year. And Kyle Shanahan was asked that question.
One, just in general, how hard it is to get there. So, I mean, that goes with it. I mean, just because you go one year doesn't mean you're going the next year. How much teams change on a year-to-year basis? How much injuries play into a toll? How much calls by the ref play into a toll? How much every little thing goes? It's not just a seven-game series. It's one game. And that's what's different to me than football, than all other sports. So that's why I always do think it's the hardest. I do think people do have hard times getting over that stuff. I think sometimes you work a little bit longer into February than you're used to, and a lot of guys want to relax for a long time, and that's why it's important to me that we do for a few weeks, but it's also to be cognizant of that, so you don't relax too long. And I think we got the right guys that we're not gonna have to convince that. I mean, these guys wish we were playing this week. We're fired up to go. We can handle how hard the loss is. You know, I look back all the way to our first season, a stat I've mentioned a lot, but when we started 0-9, you know, no team had ever finished better than 3-13, and we finished 6-10. So I just look at little things like that. There are lots of stats, but I think we have a lot of stats that prove we're different people, and I want those guys to keep that in their mind. And we got to deal with some of this and get it out of our system and stuff. But I know it'll fuel us more, and we'll be pumped to come back and get after it.
It's hard enough when you win a Super Bowl. The next Packers game they play will be 10 seasons since the last Super Bowl appearance. 10. And it's not like they went through 10 with Brooks Bollinger, you know what I mean, with like Blake Bortles as your quarterback. It was 10 with Aaron Rodgers under center, a Hall of Fame, an all-time quarterback. And it's been 10 years. There are people around right now, these producers, were like 12 when that happened. It's past history. With more about the state of the NFL, Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold insider, continuing with us here on the Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Record 187.3 million fans who can't get enough football. We continue to grow our fan base and become even more popular with a new generation of fans, as well as our diverse set of fans. These fans watch games and NFL content on TV, on mobile devices, and other platforms, with a total social media reach of over 800 million viewers. The Super Bowl 54 matchup is a fitting celebration and culmination of our 100th season. Two storied franchises, exciting players on both sides of the ball who captured our imagination and who will inspire current and future fans for years to come.
Roger Goodell on the state of the NFL, at sort of taking stock at the end of Super Bowl 54. Memorable game, but we come to this point every year. Mike Clemens, who's a veteran of many Super Bowls, Green and Gold insider, this is when you start to look a little wider, when the camera pulls out a little and you look at the state of the league and the different parts associated with it. And it's interesting that Goodell is, I mean, he had a pom-pom out right there, didn't he?
Well, he did. And, you know, when the commissioner does his press conference at the Super Bowl, it is, like you said, it's the state of the league. It's the state of the sport, really. So you hear him in his introductory comments, And he's not just talking to the media. He's talking to the 32 owners, too. Like, hey, here's what we did this year. Here's my report card. You know, look at the numbers, man. 800,000 people on social media, 180 million. You know, forget about all that crap about sagging ratings and lacking attendance in Miami and some of these other, you know, teams that have got losing teams and that kind of thing. And the struggles with the Chargers moving to Los Angeles and trying to sell season tickets and et cetera, et cetera.
Did you go to L.A., by the way, not to distract, but did you go to that game, Packers-Chargers in L.A.?
No, I didn't, no.
We called it the Fire Festival of the NFL. It was like you showed up to a promised NFL stadium and it wasn't there. They play where the L.A. Galaxy play.
Well, I heard from Rob Domofsky. He said, you know, actually, he said, I kind of like the views. You know, it was intimate. It was
like, low, yeah.
It was like minor league.
Yeah,
you know?
Yep.
Kind of cool press box that way. And it was okay to get around and do your job, you know, monitor the game, then go down and answer questions and, you know, file your story and get out of there on time. But, you know, whatever. They'll be in this beautiful new stadium here in short enough time. It's just that, you know, Roger Goodell, married to Jane Skinner, former Fox 6 TV anchor here in Milwaukee.
Right.
You know, got to know Jane and all that. You know, very good person. There's a lot of amazing things that have happened in the positive column for the National Football League under Roger Goodell, starting with moving games to Thursday night, increasing the revenues that way, taking things, traditional things like Media Day used to be middays on Tuesday at the stadium. So it'd be us in the media and then the AFC team, then break for lunch, and then the NFC team. And we had them all to ourselves in an empty stadium. Well, because of security concerns, they don't let anybody set foot in the stadium all week now.
Really?
Yeah, they started doing this 2 or 3 years ago. We were in Phoenix about 3 years ago. First of all, he said, let's take this craziness and the fun that some of the people have, you know, because they let in this media from Mexico and, you know, websites and, you know, they dress up guys in wedding dresses and they ask Tom Brady, would you like to get married? You know, crazy questions, right? It's ask anything you want day
right.
at Media Day. They moved that from Tuesdays to Monday nights and made it a TV show where they can sell commercials and make more money on it. Let's make money on it. And they took some of the things that used to happen Saturday afternoons, a very calm, quiet, dignified Hall of Fame ceremony, press conference, where I would sit there and just watch. I'll never forget Michael Irvin getting named into the Hall of Fame. He was kind of stunned that he got in and breaking down in tears out in the lobby. And I went out to follow him. And there's Jerry Jones and his offensive coordinator and, you know, some of his coaches that from his days back in the 90s. And North Turner was there. And these grown men standing there hugging and crying. That's all changed now. They all moved it to Saturday nights, and it's the honor show. And literally, it's the same template as the Oscars,
yeah.
which will be on this Sunday night.
Red carpet.
Selling sponsors, making money. They said, well, let's take this stuff that we used to do during the daytime and put it in prime time and make a TV show out of it. So very smart from Roger that way. You know, you can't argue with performance when it comes to revenue for the league. But the other thing I found that was kind of bothered me a little bit is the commissioner of the league is standing up there and he's talking about Patrick Mahomes. A guy said, so Patrick Mahomes is this exciting player. Are you happy that he's in the heartland in Kansas City as opposed to an East Coast market like New York or a West Coast market in L.A.? I mean, would that be better for the league somehow? And in his opening remarks, the commissioner of the National Football League said, you know, we've made this much money, we got this many viewers, and the sport is better than ever before. The two quarterbacks in the game this weekend are under the age of 28 or 27. Well, who cares about? I mean, he's basically writing off Brady, Breeze, Rodgers. He's saying, look, we've got this new class of quarterbacks that'll be exciting for the next 5-10 years. He's like forecasting this excitement with the new generation of quarterbacks. So he's asked this question about Mahomes. Are you happy he's in Kansas City, or would you rather have him on the East Coast or the West Coast?
Patrick Mahomes anywhere in the NFL is good for me. I got to tell you that not only is he an incredible player, but he is an incredible young man. Wherever he plays in the NFL, he's going to have an impact. And I'm proud to have him as a Kansas City Chief. I would guess there's 31 other teams that wouldn't mind having him either. But he's just made us better. And he's made the Chiefs better, as evidenced by the fact that they're here in the Super Bowl. As I mentioned up front, when we think about the future of the NFL with people like Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson and some of these great young players, we like to tease around the office. Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't fit into that 27 because he's 28. But this is the future of our league, not just with quarterbacks, with great young players at every position. We're happy to have him as a Kansas City Chief and happy to have him here in the Super Bowl.
So you get that? To hell with Philip Rivers and Tom Brady. You know, we're moving on, man. We got the new generation. We got young guys in their 20s run all over the field, play a new brand of football. That's ratings, baby.
That's ratings.
Do you understand that?
Yeah, that's a double-edged sword.
So the other question is the 17-game regular season. Now, this is a league that just spent the last 10 years trying to fight the concussion lawsuits by saying, well, we'll make the game safer. You can't lead with your helmet and all that. And so, and yet at the same time, the owner's saying, we need 18 games, man. We want more regular season games because it's more revenue, more money in our pockets if we're going to be able to afford this new CBA. And so Roger Goodell was asked about how safe is the game to go to 17 regular season games.
Safety has been at the forefront and our number one priority of our players. And over the last 10 to 15 years in particular, I think we've had over 50 rule changes to make our game safer. We've made changes in equipment, particularly with the helmet. We have 6 new models coming out this year, all which will raise the innovation and, frankly, the quality of the helmets that our players are wearing. In addition, obviously, we're working on research. We've got data that proves which techniques should be taken out of the game, so it affects how we change our rules. And, of course, for us, the data is the key component to what we want to do is changing the season. We don't look at it just as do we have a 17th game. We look at the entire season, the off season. Obviously, training camp, how we prepare our players to get ready for the season, how we practice during the season. So all of those changes and taking techniques out of those games have made our game safer. As you point out, the number one injuries are the lower extremity injuries. We continue to apply the same model we have done with concussions to reduce them by 30%. You mentioned that concussions are up, but they're up only slightly and statistically insignificant from a very low last year of close to 30%. So we have what we think is a new baseline that all of our changes will continue to work to try to reduce that further. So we believe we have made the game safer, we've made it better, and we believe that we can restructure the season in a way that will be smart for the future of the game. But those discussions, as you point out, are in the context of our labor negotiations. They're in the context of working with our medical people. And we've shared all that. We continue to have that kind of dialogue with our players, and we'll continue to have that.
And I'm just here to tell the average listener, they're saying, well, these players, they make millions of dollars. What difference does it make if they play one extra game? And I'm just here to tell you, a guy that's been in the league for 8 years and wants to make it to 9 and 10 for his family and for himself, he doesn't need one more regular season game. He wants to win a Super Bowl. He wants to get into the postseason. But after about a dozen games, your body is really beat to hell, and it's hard to get that. So just to throw one more game on there, just so that the owners, that's what the frustration is. And Richard Sherman says, these owners are hypocritical. If they think they say they want us to have a safer, healthier game, yet they want to extend the regular season.
It's odd to me. And it's always odd when you hear player safety is their biggest concern. And they're really standing up for player safety, player safety, player safety. But it seems like player safety has a price tag. You know, player safety up to the point of, hey, 17 games makes us this much money. So we really don't care how safe they are if you're going to pay us this much money to play another game. And so that's the part that's really concerning for us as a union and us as players, because they think that players have a price tag on their health. And I don't think we're in the same ballpark in that regard. Players have been more aware of player safety and longevity and just life after football. The league you know, kind of pretends that they're interested in it, pretends that they care about it, you know, makes all these rules, fines all these players, but then still proposes to players to play an extra game and not just 17. They're really just saying 17 so that they can get to 18. And so that's two more opportunities for players to risk their bodies, to put their bodies on the line. And that's what's so ridiculous about it. And nobody calls them out. Nobody calls out the hypocrisy. And I'm hoping that one day, you know, people will be brave enough to call out the hypocrisy of saying, hey, we really care about player safety, but hey, we also want you to play an extra game, put your body on the line and risk
Kevin,
your career.
They've been working 14 months on a new collective bargaining agreement. They got 11 months before it expires. The players' union met again yesterday and couldn't resolve whether they could swallow taking 17 games a season.
It's one game, and it tells you what an impact one game really does have on a human body, even with the helmets, even with all the safety precautions in place. Back to wrap things up with Mike Clemens in a moment.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I've grown up here. You know, got married when I was a Packer, bought my first house. I still live in, two kids. I mean, a lot of ups and downs, you know, that my wife and I have grown from personally, professionally, you know, so we've become adults here technically. So a lot of grown up has been done, and very appreciative of being a Green Bay Packer and being a part of a lot of good stuff that's gone on here the last 10 years.
Going to show incredible restraint here and say that something productive came out of Iowa in those last few days with those words from Brian Bulaga, Mike.
Yeah, and it was 2 weeks ago today, then we got to hear from Brian Gutekunst, who nicely did an end-of-season press conference. His predecessor, you know, Ted did do those kinds of things. But
no.
The general manager, we asked him about, all right, you look back at the season, you did these wonderful things for the defense, bringing in Za'Darius and Preston. What was missing? What do you think you could have done that might have gotten your Packers over the hump and into the Super Bowl this year?
You know, as we got through the first part of the season before the trade deadline, you know, we were looking to maybe see if it would make sense to add another explosive offensive player. The opportunities to do that, there were not many, and the ones that were not particularly sound value, in my opinion. But we looked at that. But it's, you know, I also was very optimistic that some of our young players would improve and get us where we needed to be. But I think that's the one area where when we were in that period before the trade deadline that we were looking at.
So maybe in the draft he can find him his own Debo, you know, like John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan.
Oh,
did.
Man.
We had 53 yards rushing in the Super Bowl, set a record for a receiver in rushing yards with those end sweeps. That's what they got to add.
That's it. That's the thing is the draft can really put the Packers in a different level this year. It's kind of an exciting thing. Mike, always appreciate it. Always learn something from it.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it.
We got such a busy show that we did not get to say in the entire time that Ron Renicke is about to be the new manager of the Boston Red Sox. That's happening. Ron Renicke is going to take that job. You heard it here first. It's probably for 1 year. Not against him. It's just the way the system is. But that's pretty cool. So congratulations, former Brewer skipper Ron Renicke. Thank you. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you for the radio magic.
Get it every time. Every time. Bill is back on Monday. See you guys.
Station strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.